Hey there, me again, because nobody else talks on this show unless you're the guest. So it's Mike, another quick questions today. One show, two topics, we have a theme, they go together. Soap and water, because a couple of you asked, what is soap? We use it every day, hopefully. We accept that it cleans us, but how? And then water, you know, X amount of glasses per day is what we hear. But how many actually? Soap and water. Except we're going backwards, so it's water first. There's our sink as we fill up a glass, as we get on the call with Dr. Tamara Hugh Butler.
I am an associate professor of exercise science at Wayne State University
in Detroit, Michigan. So I'm curious first, if we can just take the journey, what happens when I drink water? Like, where does it go? What does it do?
So when you put that luscious water in your mouth, obviously it goes down your throat. There's sensors in your throat going like, ooh, there's water. So that your brain knows that you're drinking something. It goes right into your stomach that also has sensors to detect that you've drank something.
Everybody's connected. Everybody's talking.
And why those sensors are important is because if you drink way too much at once, that feeling of fullness will signal to the brain, like, stop.
From there, we go to the small intestine and then the blood and then the cells. And then we get into this back and forth between raisins and grapes. So stick with us here.
Yeah. You know, we don't want to be raisins. We actually want to be grapes. And so your body's actually detecting the size of the cell. It wants the grape.
Yeah. When you shrink down that small, the hydrated cells, they puff up their grapes.
If you are dehydrated, all of your cells are kind of shrunk raisins. So once you drink those precious drops of water, they will actually then start to fill up the cell.
And your body will hang on to that water.
Until you drink enough water.
Then you'll get rid of it in the way that we all get rid of it.
So it's very well regulated. It's about the balance that dictates the size of the grape.
The best way to help out? Take sips, don't chug, so you don't fool yourself into thinking you're full. Let's do some myth busting. Caffeine, she says, no, not dehydrating. It's not the coffee. It's the drinking 4 cups of coffee, then getting rid of it that has you losing the water.
Right, right.
You don't need to stick with just plain water.
Your body doesn't care where the water comes from. And so even up to 50% of the moisture that we ingest that we need comes from food.
So that 8 glasses of water thing? No, your body wants fluid.
Okay, I'm 5 foot tall and I weigh 90 pounds. My grad student just came in. He's 7 foot tall and like 280 pounds.
Very different people. Yeah.
Right, right. There is no one size fits all.
One side note, though, all those various liquids that can hydrate, yes, except alcohol. Think back to college. Think back to bar hopping for this one.
That's a great point. So if there is one beverage that probably increases water loss, it's alcohol. I mean, so that's beer and that's wine. So, you know, you go to a bar and you hear like breaking the seal.
Mm-hmm.
So the alcohol itself will actually suppress a hormone. Alcoholic beverages will encourage you to lose more fluid from your kidneys.
Yeah, the keep it in hormone, that gets inhibited. So breaking the seal is a real thing. Now, final thought, where have we arrived at? Drink when you're thirsty. That's when to have some water.
You know, the gene that encodes the main hormone that controls water balance is like 700 million years old. You know, you can think that your app and your water bottle that lights up is better than that.
But it's not.
I mean, I always make this point. It's like the animals would all be dead.
And they are very much alive. Now, part two. Shower time. You have a rubber ducky? I do. We'll do a show on them someday. But first, who do we have?
My name is Birnur Aral, Executive Director at the Beauty, Health, and Sustainability Laboratory at the Good Housekeeping Institute.
Okay, we have found the right person. Basics first, yeah? What is soap? And for our purposes here, we're just doing like bar soap.
So chemically speaking, soap is actually a salt. It's a salt of what we call a fatty acid.
And now some of you are saying, well, it doesn't seem like salt. Well, high school chemistry. An acid and a base go together, you get salt. And when we think of salt, we probably think of sodium chloride, you know, table salt, ocean salt.
The base that's used in soap making is typically sodium hydroxide.
Which is something else. People call it lye, L-Y-E. And soap is lye plus oils or fats. There's your recipe and also colors and perfume so you can jazz it up a little bit. The takeaway is that this is a reaction. It doesn't just occur in the wild.
The history of soap dates back to 2800 BC, to ancient Babylon.
That's like 5,000 years.
There, archaeologists have found soap-like material in clay cylinders, and they were inscribed with what they deciphered afterwards, fats boiled with ashes. For centuries, it was made with boiling ashes found in something that has burned with fats. I'm sure animal fats were plenty, and plant fats.
Now, they weren't quite there yet, but it was soap-like. It was a goopy sort of thing, not for cleaning people, but for cleaning wool or cotton before you weaved it into something. You glob onto it, and then you lift the dirt. Fast forward through time, the Romans, did they use soap? They had the baths. No, they kind of submerged themselves, then they rubbed oil on, and then they had a scraper-type thing. You keep going, everyone's still pretty gross all the way through the Middle Ages. We do see the very first olive oil luxury bars, but luxury is the key word. And then you keep on going, and really it's like the 1600s that cleanliness comes back into fashion.
Then in the 18th century, a French chemist called Nicolas Leblanc, he figured it out industrially.
Then things get a lot better from there. So how does it work? I mean, what does soap do?
Physically, it acts as what we call a surfactant. Meaning, first, it decreases the surface tension of water. Think about water. Water has a high surface tension. Like when it's raining and if your car is all like waxed, you know, you form those water droplets on your windshield.
Well, you got to get past that if we're going to give our hands a good wash. So there's step one. Step two, you got to really get down in there and grab the dirt.
Oils from your skin, germs. And also solid particulates, dust, etc.
So soap, and I want to keep it easy on the chemistry, but it is kind of fascinating. So the soap molecules, the way they're built, they can grab the dirt and the bacteria and lift them up and keep them there while we scrub.
Between the oil and the water, and they keep them suspended.
Soap does its work in the middle. If you were to zoom all the way in, all of it's happening in the in-between, then it gets whisked away. Soap is like a nice-smelling crowbar. I feel like we're running out of time, because maybe we are, but one more fun fact. One of you wrote in saying, I heard that Dove is not soap, but I love my Dove. So if it's not soap, what is it?
Yes, that question was right on. Basically, it's a detergent, and it's kind of another salt, but it's a much more complex chemistry involved. Olay bar is similar as well.
So during the World Wars, we were short on oils and fats, so we needed something that worked the same way but was built different, so here we are. They're also typically milder. That's their whole selling point, right? And here's a test. See if you can feel this, if you've used both. Detergents, kind of slippery, wet feel, even after you're done scrubbing, when you've washed it off. Soap, kind of the opposite, almost dry. It's like the squeaky clean.
It's a different clean, and some people love it, you know, depending on what time of the year it is, etc. It could be harsh for some people.
So there you go. Soap and water. Show's over. Remember to wash those hands. Send me an email. I've got questions at audacy.com. AUDACY. This comes from KNX News 97.1 FM in Los Angeles. Until next week.